down. Pass it all around. Lyrics get hard, quick cement to the ground. For an EMC and any 52 states, I get psycho killer Norman Bates. My producer slam, my flow is like bam. Jump on stage, the thing I did then.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode number 244. I am Cheapy D here in hot Tokyo, Japan. And of course, we have Wombat.
In hot Long Island. It's about 3,000 degrees here too.
Awesome. And Shipwreck.
And it is hot and steamy here in the Natty.
Anywhere you are is steamy.
People are worried here because they don't know what the electricity situation is going to be like, because, you know, we lost that power plant, that giant power plant. So there's a lot of signs up everywhere telling people to conserve electricity and don't set your air conditioner. I think that the recommended air conditioner setting, we'll have to look this up to see what it is, 28 degrees Celsius to Fahrenheit is, that's 82. That can't be, that sounds pretty hot for an air conditioner setting. But I don't know. Tokyo gets usually in the summertime, it's like 95 degrees and 90 something percent humidity. So if we have electricity problems, I'm moving somewhere else, like New York. I'm moving in with you, Wombat. You got an extra room, right?
I do. There's a bed in the basement, and it's actually really cool down there in the summer because it's the basement.
Right. Nice and damp. Cool, damp basement.
There's a line for cable, but there's no cable box. But if you moved in, I'd get you a cable box.
Right. Yeah. They announced that they're turning off the air conditioning on the subways from, like, I think 12 to 3 p.m., which means, I mean, you know, it's basically a hot box.
That's got to be a smell.
I mean, I can't even imagine what that's going
to
be like.
You should. It's hot down you shouldn't anyway. Have to imagine. You need to go down there and give us a full report.
I will not be there. I will not be leaving my... I'm going to be seeking out places that have air conditioning. Hopefully, I won't have to run it that much in my house because it gets pretty expensive.
Well, the Tokyo American Club, they probably have that on like 65 over there, right?
No, they have to because they're wasteful Americans.
Right.
They have to conform, otherwise they're going to look bad. So, like, they only run one of the elevators, and they said they have signs up saying it's going to be warmer than we would like to have.
That's not very USA of them. Come on.
It's not. But on the plus side, giant Cokes. That's the takeaway. So, yeah, I'm worried. I'm getting ready to sweat.
You should be.
Yeah, but at least I can go swimming at the club every day. So yeah. But anyway, even though it's the start of summer, there's a shitload of games that are coming out. I mean, I see Shipwreck posting pictures of all these review copies that are showing up, and I know I've got a bunch of new games. So a lot of stuff to talk about. Besides just me sweating.
You sure?
Yeah. So I don't know. CADcast Thug Life? What's going on in your Thug Life, Wombat?
I read a book over the weekend.
I don't believe it. It was, let me guess, Batman graphic novel number 7.
I wish. Oh. No, I read the Tina Fey autobiography.
Oh.
Bossy Pants.
Was it good?
It was good. I read it in a day. Day and a half, maybe.
She hasn't lived that long.
She doesn't know. She dies at 32. It's very tragic. But no, it was very funny.
A lot of pictures and giant font.
It is giant font. I'll say that much. It is a big font. Not that many pictures, but it's totally like, oh, we need to make this book 300 pages. Oh, let's use 0.11 font or whatever. 0.13. That's it.
Tell me one exciting tidbit from the book.
That's what's interesting about the book is that for the most part, her life is very mundane.
That's what's interesting.
Well, it's not. You didn't let me finish. She doesn't really, you know, her upbringing wasn't really all that like extraordinary. And she mentions that herself, that she wasn't really, you know, she doesn't consider herself an underdog by any stretch of the imagination. She just wrote a very funny book about a life that for the most part isn't incredibly interesting. Yes, writing for Saturday Night Live is interesting, but it's not like she's, you know, dishing dirt on, you know, her coworkers or anything like that.
Right.
So, yeah. There you go.
I think sounds I'm going like
to
skip
I'm
that.
Yeah, me too. You really sold
us on it. I was
going
to say, it's you don't know. I really enjoyed it. And if you're interested in comedy, which I know Shipwreck isn't because he hates comedy.
I hate comedy. It's the worst.
It's so true.
And white people.
That's pretty much what the book's about, those two things.
Yeah,
but I enjoyed
that.
It.
I saw the Sammy Hagar book in the library here. I thought I might get it, but then that would require me to read a book.
And you can't read 55.
Right. But I'm bummed. It sounded pretty interesting, actually. He was on Stern talking about it.
This is where you get all your news.
Pretty much. Which is good, because it lets me avoid a lot of like bullshit things that dominate the like CNN and stuff like that. I only get the really important stuff. Do you know he had a tequila company,
Cabo Wabo.
Yeah, and he sold it
for like $150 million.
Well, he got 80 million.
Only 80 million.
He only got 80. But
he'll never live on that.
He sounded like it'd be a pretty interesting book. He sounds like he would dish on people. So
yeah, he would.
Anyway,
Tina Fey still works with the people that she would be dishing on. So
let me tease everybody on some of the games we'll be talking about this week, and then we will go into some show feedback. I picked up Child of Eden. I know Shipwreck wrote a review of Duke Nukem Forever. We'll be talking about that. Shipwreck also got Transformers Dark. It's called Dark of the Moon.
Yeah, I don't know what they're thinking with that. It doesn't make any sense to me either.
They're thinking, I hope Pink Floyd doesn't sue us.
Right.
Well, that's why they didn't call it Dark Side of the Moon. That's why they went with Dark of the Moon.
Yes, that was. Thank you for clarifying the point I was making.
Shipwreck gave me his copy of Virtua Tennis 4, which I'll be talking about. And I also got Red Faction. I already forgot what it's called. Red Faction.
Armageddon.
Gorilla. I could think of Gorilla, but that was...
That was the one before it. I actually played a little more of that as well. I played that online with some of the developers.
But we'll talk about that later. Also, yeah. Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. I got a Kinect. I mean, a lot of shit to talk about this week. It's going to be insane. But now, let's go to some show feedback.
It'll be the most interesting 45 minutes of your week.
Oh, and it's going to be short this week too, right? That's a
not that short.
Not that short. Okay.
No,
I got to have surgery tomorrow.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I hopefully after tomorrow I won't have cancer in my face. That's the hope.
Yay!
What does the surgery entail? How do they remove the cancer from your face?
It involves something called a double Pac-Man. I don't know if it's the name of the surgery is Mohs surgery.
Mohs.
Yeah,
I'm familiar
Mohs
with
microscopic surgery, I believe. What they do is they they go in and they cut out part of my face, and then they look around the edges in a microscope to see if there's any more cancer. And if there is, they keep cutting until when they look under the microscope, there's no cancer.
No laser. These are real old school knife.
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh.
All I know is I'm going to faint.
they shrink people down and they put them in a little spaceship.
Are you
and
a fainter?
They inject the spaceship into his face.
Yeah, well, we've talked about this before. I fainted in a health class in college, remember?
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, he can't stand the sight of blood and he's married to a doctor. You see how it works out?
I'm the same way. I can't watch like those hospital... I can't watch ER.
No, I can't either. They make me want to vomit. But,
yeah.
Yeah. So I think I get some like Valium and then some like local face numbing. And then...
Oh, they don't put you to sleep.
No, I'll handle that on my own.
Ask for an epidural.
But you get the face numbing.
That's yeah, cool. I mean, I'm not going to be hopefully not going to be able to feel much until I get home, and then I'm sure it'll hurt like hell for a while here. But think of that, pray for that, whatever you want to do, send money.
That's money. Did you hear about the gynecologist who asked his patient if she wanted him to numb her down there? And she said yes, and then he went num 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 num.
That's the worst joke I've ever heard.
I think I left a little bit out.
Wait, what did the gynecologist do?
Num, 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 num.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
All right. How about some show feedback, Wombat?
Sure, I got some. You know what I'm drinking, by the way?
No.
A tall glass of Metamucil.
Nice.
It's not as gritty as it used to be, right?
Mm-mm.
Reduced grit.
Yes, it's not as gritty as it used to be, and boy, does this stuff work.
It's good.
If you want gigantic poops, Metamucil, one cup a night.
Well, I don't want soft ones, though.
Yeah, yeah, like regular magic poops. That's the only way I could describe it, is magic poop.
Magic, not the ones that knock you unconscious.
No, it doesn't knock you unconscious, but, you know, cleanly, easily, three wipes, you're out.
Really, that's cool. Much better than Dr. Pepper, then.
Yes. Much better than Dr. Pepper.
I was thinking that Whip Smart Banky should start drawing a new CAG comic that features my poop that came out, but it was affected by the radiation from the nuclear plant. So
Poopzilla?
now it's alive and it's my friend.
Oh, it's your friend. It's not like a giant poop that's attacking.
No. And because it was cut up with a hanger, they're like brothers. There's like maybe three or four brothers, poop brothers, twins.
Have you run this idea by the New Yorker?
No, I haven't even run it by Banky yet. I'm running it by you.
TBD
now.
And the turds? Is that what we call it?
I ran it by my wife, and she looked like she was going to throw up, and she didn't want to be anywhere near me.
I can understand that.
Yeah, she kind of just like started walking faster while I was telling her. But yeah, that's an idea.
It is. That is what it is. It is an idea.
Anyway, show feedback.
Sure. Christ HBK, I was at the CAG party ready to talk it up with fellow CAGs. 30 minutes into the party, my friend had a medical emergency and I had to leave. What happened? How do you leave it at that? Christ?
We saw some people get carried out, but I just assumed that was from drinking, and that was later in the night.
I'm guessing the medical emergency was with a friend that was not at the party.
Oh, okay, okay.
Oh, okay, because that's the way I read it also. I read it the same way. Like, there was a medical emergency at your party. Did you guys know?
I saw two people get carried out, and that was about it. Which isn't bad for, it's like probably like 450, 500 people there. So that's pretty good.
That's good odds. And this your friend is feeling better.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that too.
The moral of the story is don't have friends, and then you won't have any responsibility.
Like this guy, Karufu Finwi says, did Shipwreck say that blacklisting reviewers by not sending them review copies because they gave an awful game the low score it deserved is fine? It's actually disgraceful that certain publishers and their PR companies pull this crap in order to prevent reviewers from doing their jobs properly.
Well, this was in response to the Duke Nukem Forever Redner Group thing, where he tweeted that anybody, you know, they were reevaluating that who gets review copies based on the venom in the Duke Nukem reviews.
But then again, it is a publisher's job and a PR company's job to have that game projected in as best light as possible. If the game's crap, eventually everyone's going to know. A good PR person can at least delay the crap that for as long as he can.
Well, Shipwreck, what did you mean by that? I have a feeling that's not what you meant when you said
that's somewhat what I meant. I think the publishers of the games, those are their games. They get to decide who gets free copies of them. Reviewers aren't entitled to get free copies of stuff. They send them out there. It's a consumer journalism thing where you want to get your product out there. Reviews are basically end up being either positive or negative ads for the game in the hands of people whose opinions are valued by their readers or their viewers or whatever. So if somebody's giving bad reviews and really laying into your product in a way like that's like not very nice. Like, I gave Duke a horrible review, but I think I was somewhat nice about it, and I gave my reasons and everything. But if I'm in the position of a PR person and somebody's just laying into my stuff, I'm not going to send them something the next time. They're not going to be at the top of the list.
You probably won't announce it on Twitter.
No, that's the mistake. They made two mistakes on the PR in this game. The announcing it on Twitter, that little policy, that was a mistake. It's not a mistake to think that way, but to put it on Twitter, that's a mistake.
It's also I think we should all be realistic here, and this is how it works. Mm-hmm. I think that's what you were really saying last week was, look, this is happening anyway, whether or not the guy posted on Twitter or not, this is how it goes down.
Yeah. The second mistake
and,
they made
and not
on the
getting
PR,
a free co- oh yeah, you go ahead.
Yeah, the second mistake they made on the PR of this is that they sent the copies out during E3, put a embargo date for the embargo to lift the Friday after E3, and the game did not come out till Tuesday. If you have a game like this and you have a pretty good idea going in that it's not going to get great reviews, you don't want to, A, rush the reviewers who are very busy that week, and B, you don't want to have that embargo before the game comes out. You want that embargo to lift once that game is already on store shelves.
Right. It's like a movie like those movie companies, when they have a movie and they think it's, you know, not so hot, they don't have that review event the week that the movie comes out.
Yeah, and I'm saying this all from the publisher side. Like, as players and as like journalists and everything, sure, we want those early copies. That way we can tell everybody, hey, this game sucks, don't go buy it. But
right.
As a PR thing,
you're talking
thing,
about if you're running a business, this is how you run the business.
If you're running a business of selling games, yes. I mean, and it doesn't prevent reviewers from doing their job properly. It just prevents them from getting a review out early. A reviewer can still review the game. Once it's in stores, they could go buy it.
Yeah, I mean, I would like, you know, certainly people are going to be upset when they hear you guys saying this stuff, but I think put yourself in their shoes. Let's say you have a game that's coming out. You just spent, you know, tens of millions of dollars putting this game out. You know that the finished product is not so hot. What do? You know, you probably don't send out the review copies until, you know, until the game comes out, or, you know, have the embargo come out after the game comes out. It just makes sense.
But at this point, I think we all know that if a game comes out and we don't see any reviews, chances are the game isn't very good.
Right, be cautious. Yeah. Just like the movies, just like when a movie does that.
Exactly. I think, you know, I don't think I've seen a review for the Green Lantern game.
I don't think they sent copies out.
I don't think so either. I have a feeling that game is not very good.
I don't know. That it's the same thing where I don't think that many people requested copies because we knew we were going to be at E3. So, I don't know. I don't know anything about the Green Lantern game.
I've been told it's a quick yet surprisingly enjoyable God of War clone is how people described it to me on Twitter. So,
all right.
Yep.
We'll
no
see.
Score yet on Metacritic. It was reviewed by three companies, GameShark, IGN, and GameSpot. And the reviews in order are a 67, a 60, and a 60.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it does sound about right.
What else we got in the show feedback area?
We got... here we go. Great podcast as always. This is from Lego. And now you guys will have a ton of extra listeners now that the Joystick podcast is effectively dead after the horrible The Joystick Show revamp that turned it into a lifeless video game-related NPR. I just wanted to...
Yeah, yes, what happened with that?
They changed the format of the show. I happen to like it. I told Shipwreck that I liked it and told him to listen to it, and he did. But I think it's different. I think it's a nice alternative to what I like to call the CADcast model of podcasting, which is three people talking about nothing for an hour.
Right.
It's and
more organized. It has like segments or something.
It's
like,
very yeah. It's segmented. It's produced. There's a different guest per segment.
Is Justin not on it anymore?
No. It's Chris is the host of each segment.
And that's it?
Yeah, pretty much.
So it's the Chris Grant Show.
It's the Chris Grant Show.
He has a good name for having a show.
Yeah, and he's you know, he's what's the guy's name from This American Life? He sounds like him the whole show, basically doing an impersonation.
Oh, they should call it the Chris Grant Show. I like that name.
Yeah, yeah,
it's good.
He changed his whole attitude to this very NPR attitude. I'll give Lego that much.
It's not like it used to be kind of silly. It's not silly.
No, it's not silly. It's very serious. And again, I think that there's room for a show like that. I think it's a very nice alternative.
Cool.
Although Lego, as much as I wish we would get a ton of extra listeners, unfortunately, the name of this show isn't the Giant Bombcast. So,
And it doesn't work like that. If people stop listening, they don't just start listening to us. Unfortunately. But feel free to tell your friends that they should be doing that.
Yes, definitely. And MSD Money says, thanks for bringing up how pointless all these CG trailers are. Until the game is ready to show and ready to play, I don't care about it. Yes, I agree. I just like bringing up that point as many times as I can.
Yeah, I mean, for us, I think when we look at them with a discerning eye and we realize what we're looking at is just a commercial that doesn't really tell us anything about the game or show us anything about the game. But the publishers swear that this is a win-win proposition for them, that even though it costs a lot of money and time to put together these CG trailers, that they sell games, that people pre-order the games when they see this stuff. So I don't know. I don't know if I necessarily believe them, but that's what they said. Right, Shipwreck? Didn't we, during dinner one day at E3, we had this conversation?
Oh, yeah. We had this conversation. I don't know that we want to say who with, but...
I don't even remember who with.
it's with some guys that used to be in journalism, but now are on the publishing or developer side of things. But they said that they're absolutely worth it. They get buzz going about the game. It really hits the market of guys that are interested in gaming, but not that are like on websites daily, I would say.
Right.
Like,
okay.
So I don't know. I don't have a problem with them. I know exactly what they are. Like, I think we talked about last year. I see the Sly Cooper thing and I'm like, okay, there's a new Sly Cooper game, but it's not going to look like that.
Right.
But that's cool that there's a new Sly Cooper game.
Hmm.
So I don't know. They have their place, I think.
Well, all right. I did like the Batman one. The Arkham City one from a couple months ago.
Hmm. I liked watching all of the old ones that were on the Duke Nukem disc. Like once you beat the game, or maybe even before you beat the game, they have a whole bunch of extras on there that are all the like the E3 trailers from all the E3s that Duke Nukem was shown at.
Oh.
So it's kind of neat. They have the whole timeline there too. It's super long, the timeline of every little thing that happened in the development of Duke Nukem.
Yeah, my I think the craziest stat for me has to be that Harry Potter, like all the books and all the movies. I mean, the last movie comes out in a month, but all the movies were at least completed filming, and the books were all published and released before Duke Nukem was released.
Right, the whole thing.
The whole thing. That is a $1 billion franchise. $1 billion. Think about it. It's not so much Harry Potter. It's like, yeah, okay, whatever. A $1 billion franchise was created and effectively ended before a British 40-year-old woman made $1 billion in the time frame it took for them to make Duke Nukem.
I think there's going to be another Duke Nukem.
I'm sure there will be. Randy Pitchford said it today.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me at the least. I mean, they bought the license for a reason. They're going to make a more modern one after this. This was just to make money. Like, they're going to sell this game and it's going to make money. Well, not overall make money, but it's going to at least...
It'll make money for Gearbox, maybe.
Right, exactly.
So. At some point, anyway. Okay, so on to new releases.
There's a ton of stuff out. What's going on with June this year?
I don't know. It is pretty insane.
Let's see. What have I played in this list so far? I've played a lot of Dungeon Siege 3.
Okay.
I've been playing that co-op with Mrs. Shipwreck. And we played some of that at E3.
Yep.
It's a fun little hack and slash game. It's got a little bit more tactics than a lot of the other games in this sense. My person I play is the girl that can transform into a fire girl.
Ooh, I like that.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, she's on the box art, and she's awesome. So my character can make this big, like, ring of fire around her that I can, depending on how I do my point allotment for it when I'm leveling it up, it can either cause more damage to the enemies, or it can also heal us, and you can kind of go, like, 50-50 on that. So I can lay that down and then cast out a fire jackal to go attack people while Mrs. Shipwreck is playing as the range character, this other girl who uses rifles and guns. So she can stand inside the fire ring too and shoot out these bullets that ricochet between different enemies. And you get the new hats. And
I smell a fac coming.
No, I'm not going to write a fac. I'm well past my days of facs.
Oh, all right.
I'll leave that for other people to work on now. But
I feel like there's a lot of these action RPGs coming out in the near future. And this one, from what I saw at E3, didn't look like one of the more promising ones. I mean, it looked fine. It just didn't look like there's a lot more interesting ones, better looking ones coming out.
It's up and down as far as the visuals go. Like it does kind of a surprising... like zoom in mode when you're talking to people that actually looks pretty good, and you get to choose different dialogue options as you go along. Mm. And the other people in your party can vote which dialogue options they want you to choose.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of a neat dynamic. But I've heard the online is kind of broken. I know each person has to play as a different character, and I think that creates some issues with saving your progress if you are playing with other people.
Have you seen the commercials for the game?
No.
The commercials, they actually promote it as being a game that's meant to be played couch co-op. They actually use that term in the commercial.
Huh.
Dungeon Siege 3, couch co-op is back. So
there haven't been a lot of games that have done it well. And this one handles it pretty well. Everything saves to player one, and you can drop in and out as the second player. But the second player also gets achievements, and the progress of their character saves, like, that range character that Mrs. Shipwreck is using, it's saved to my profile as well, so her character's always still there. So it works well as a couch co-op game. I'm liking it. I'll have a review out once we finish it up this week.
Cool.
And then I got in the mail today Fear 3, which I'll be sending off to Wombat to review.
I saw
Nick from Co-Optimus tweeted that he thought the combat was surprisingly, what did he say, enjoyable. I think that was the word he used. So that's cool.
Yeah, so we'll have more on that next week, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
The same with Shadows of the Damned. That showed up today as well. And I'm really looking forward to checking that one out.
The reviews have been surprisingly good for that.
It just looks like a fun game.
I'm surprised. From what I've heard about it, I'm very surprised that it's doing so well. It's got a 78 right now.
That's not bad.
No.
For a game coming out in June, I mean, that's
Game Informer gave it a 9.3 and IGN gave it a 7.
A 9.3?
Yeah.
Wow.
Someone liked that game.
Yep. Yeah. It's
guest reviewer Suda 51.
I think. Well, you know what it is. I think a lot of these. There's a lot of Suda 51 super fans out there, and they just. I don't know. Like, the guy can do no wrong, and you know what? Honestly, I haven't played any of his games, so I'm not in a position to say anything about his game making ability. I could talk about some other stuff, but probably shouldn't. But
the first one that he's put out on what I would consider a thriving console.
Right. Like, you mean not the Wii?
Not the Wii, not the GameCube. Like, not like at weird times in those cycles of those machines. So I'm looking forward to playing this. The lead character's name is Garcia Hotspur.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's my son's name, too.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I'm interested in hearing what you have to say about it once you crack it open.
And what I just put up a review today for Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time 3D, and that game is still good. Surprise, surprise.
Right.
Yeah, the graphics updates are really kind of amazing what they've done with it. They didn't just pretty up the N64 and port it over, which I was surprised. Like, that's typically what they kind of do. That's Nintendo's MO. But they really took some time, and this looks much better than it did on the N64. So,
interesting.
Yeah, definitely check that out. I've also been playing another 3DS game, Dual Pin Sports.
Oh, you got that one?
I did get this one. Have you ever wondered
what
it's
like?
Wait a minute,
did you say Dual Pin Sports?
Mm-hmm, that's the one.
Wow.
In 3D,
highly
right?
Anticipated. In 3D, yes. Have you ever wanted to play a portable game in 3D? It's a mini game collection, so far, so good, right?
Right, you're hitting all the notes.
Yeah, with a stylus in each hand.
So you have to put the 3DS on a table or something.
Yes, or your lap. Yeah. Hmm. It's insane.
Like, does it come with the extra stylus?
Yeah, it comes with two extra styluses in them in the package.
Hence the name Dual Pin Sports.
Yes, you've guessed what kind of mini games they are.
One's sports themed mini games.
Most of them.
Think why two pens would be better, though.
Well, it's also trying to be one of these like brain training type of games.
Okay.
Where it's measuring your, oh my gosh, I forgot what word they made up to measure it.
Do I have to draw a circle and a triangle at the same time?
That's almost the coolest part of the game, actually. Yes. there are these little mini games that are supposed to test your dexterity.
You realize now I have to try drawing a circle and a triangle at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Go for it. You go ahead and zone out while I finish talking about this real quick. Go ahead and try to draw this.
Everybody else is. So.
Right.
This is hard as fuck.
Some of those things, you know those art style games on the Nintendo, DS, and Wii and everything? Some of these mini games are like that. There's three of them, which I think they should have centered the game around rather than the sports games. Because these are like very vibrant colors, very high contrast stuff. One right. side will like have little dots that appear, and the other hand will have rectangles that appear. And you have to tap on the dots and slice through the rectangles, and then it switches sides with them every few seconds. So it's actually kind of fun. Like, it's very simple fun. And there's a couple other, like, different stuff that you do with both hands like that. But I don't know. It's a really weird concept.
Going to pass on that one.
Are you going to pass on it? I wasn't sure. I didn't know if you were going to expand your 3DS collection beyond Nintendogs and cats.
I've never played that Zelda game.
I wouldn't recommend it for you.
Oh, okay. Well,
I know
good.
I gave it an outstanding, but
right.
I just know what type of gamer you are, and I don't right. think you're going to stick with it.
Okay.
You're thanks. Not the kind of gamer that's going to play a 20-hour RPG on your 3DS.
No, you know he's not.
I would have to like charge it and stuff like that, right? Plug it in once in a while?
Plug it in quite frequently if you played in 3D, yes.
Yeah. All right, so I'll skip on that one. We got more shit coming out, though.
Yeah, Trench came out for Xbox Live Arcade. I don't know, Tower Defense or something.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really good. I've been reading the reviews. It's a Tower Defense, but you have a mech that you drive around and that you can customize. So it sounded quite interesting.
There is a demo.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out. And it's by Double Fine, which is not necessarily a selling point for me, but the reviews sounded really positive. So I'm
that's my interested. Thing. I want to try the demo because reviews for Double Fine games kind of have a pre-built-in bump to them because everybody loves Double Fine and Tim Schafer.
Right.
And I really didn't like stacking.
Because he looks like them.
That's exactly why.
It's got an 88 on Metacritic right now. That's pretty
good.
It's
hard good. To ignore.
All right. I'll check it out.
Yeah. And then, let's see. Cars 2. Did you get that?
No, but I'm sure I'll be watching the movie 1,000 times.
Yeah, I know. I need to buy the first one. It's on sale at Best Buy this week, and I have a $5 gift card. So,
I wonder if they made a good Cars game, I would probably get it for Ty.
But I played the last one because I thought it would be good for like kids, and I didn't like it.
No. I watched the video.
Wait, the last one or the one before that? I played the one that was based on the movie.
Yeah, I think that's the one I played. Yeah.
Okay, because there's been one or two in between there as well.
Yeah.
The game, it's got a good review. Got some good reviews. Game Informer gave it a 7.8. I mean, that's not bad for a movie license game.
No, for a movie license game, it's pretty. That one's made by Disney Interactive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. I'll check that out. Maybe. What else?
That's it. That's a lot of games. If you play all those games, you're probably going to be pretty busy.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of games when you're farming games out to me.
Exactly. Right. I got another game, but it doesn't come out till next week, too. I got that new Mystery Case Files for the Wii. I'm not sure how that's going to work. Like, I don't know if I'm going to have the patience to sit and do a hidden object game on
with
my Wii.
With a Wiimote?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do some quick shopping news. A couple of deals. Some new releases dropped to $40 at Best Buy and at Amazon. L.A. Noire, Mortal Kombat, Brink, and Tiger Woods 12. Fallout New Vegas is $20 at Best Buy and at GameStop. That didn't take too long to hit $20. And some Kinect deals at Best Buy. Get a $25 gift card if you buy a Kinect standalone. And I guess that was the only Kinect deal. And Toys R Us is having a buy two select games for $50 sale. And they're new releases like Fear 3, Mortal Kombat, L.A. Noire, Brink, Portal 2.
Thought that was dead.
Black. It's, I think, in store you can still get it until Saturday, I believe.
Oh, okay.
I thought they screwed it up and were canceling orders and stuff.
I'm not sure. Like, I haven't looked this morning.
Yeah, I think
it could be.
It might
take
have
a look
happened.
At the thread on Ken.
Yeah. Because I think they meant to give out a $25 gift card instead of making each game $25 or something.
They worded it that way. I thought they worded it the right... I don't know. Well, you check it out. Also, if you want to pick up Zelda, you can at Best Buy and at Amazon, if you buy Ocarina of Time, you get any other 3DS game for half off. Or at Best Buy, you get a $25 gift card at Amazon. They just take half off. So those are some of the deals this week. Also in the world of shopping news, Redbox is starting their video game rental business and they're at their movie rental kiosks. And it's, what is it, $2 a day?
Yeah, it's $2 a day. I almost rented something just to try it. My choices were Infamous 2, which I want to check out. Mm-hmm. And my other choices were Transformers, the new Transformers game.
Which you have.
Which I have. I didn't have at the time.
Yeah.
And something else. They were all three PS3 games. There was three games in the kiosk.
And if you keep it, if you keep it and, you know, rack up over $60 in late fees, then they just let you keep the game.
That's nice of them.
They just charge you $60.
Well, yeah, they charge. They don't just let you keep it.
Well, you pay the $60 and you keep the game.
Yeah. That's There's really different. Like $2 a day, that's pretty nice, though, for especially some of these shorter games that you can knock out in a day.
Yeah, it sounds great. I'm jealous. I wish I had that. It was weird because I was reading all the announcements about how the service had just started, but when we were in that Ralph supermarket during E3, they had a red box in there and it had the game rentals already.
I think that was a test market. I'm pretty sure LA was okay. A test market for it.
Ah, okay. I was like, what is this? Why am I reading all this news? We just saw this at a supermarket in LA. But anyway. So yeah, that's interesting. Everybody should check that out. I wonder actually there was a question about that from somebody. Where is that? They basically wanted to know, this is from G_Greathouse on Twitter. He wanted us to talk about Redbox and also what if Netflix or Gamefly will react at all.
I don't think Netflix has to do anything because they still have, Instant watch streaming. That's keeping them fine. Gamefly, I don't know. Maybe it would be a good idea if Gamefly started lowering their prices because they're high.
Or maybe they're going to have a Gamefly box.
Or a Gamefly box.
I don't know. It seems too late to get on that train. Redbox is pretty well saturated.
Right.
I think there's five of them within probably 3 miles of my house. So I'm not sure how much room there is to put in Gamefly machines, and I don't know if Walmart and Kroger and all the other grocery stores already are willing to do that.
Right. All right, let's talk GoDaddy, our favorite web hosting and domain registration provider. We got some coupon codes. 10% off any order, CAG 10, $5 off a $30 order, CAG 5 off 30, $7.49 domain registrations with CAG domain, and until the end of June, get free private registration, which is $9.99.
Did you say private registration for free?
Dude, I am not even kidding you right now.
Wow. That's I can't believe we get paid to make games for a living.
Right, really shitty ones. From the look of those commercials.
They are shitty. What? It has a genie in it. You know all those games with genies in them?
I didn't finish. It's you get the free private registration when you register or transfer one or more domains. And there's no limit.
What's the limit?
Code CAG free. The limit is your imagination and your credit card.
Wow.
So yeah, that's over at GoDaddy. So check that out.
Okay, guys, time to tighten up level 3.
You've watched too much G4 at like 4 in the morning.
I haven't watched that channel. You know what? I watched that channel during E3, and that was the first time I put that channel on in, I think, 100 years.
Did you see us?
100 years. Yes, I saw both of you.
All right. I didn't post that E3 article. I don't know. I don't know what to do with it. It's like hardly an article. It's more just like a...
Just post it. It's not that hard.
I don't know.
Put it up there in the blog. Post the freaking spreadsheet, too.
Oh. All right. I got to do that. I'll do that this week. Let's see. Where are we here? All right. Let's move on to multi-platforming, Wombat's news and stuff. All those games we were talking about. I think we should start with Duke Nukem because people like to hear about a train wreck.
Did you guys try the demo? I hear there's a demo out for it now.
I didn't.
Didn't it come out today? Was it today?
Yeah, it came out
that
today.
That would be why.
I think you guys should try the demo. I'm going to try the demo just to see what they decided they should put in the demo. Like, I'm interested to see what section they stuck in there.
Why? It's hard to pick a good one?
Yeah. I mean, well, it's so segmented between areas where you are just walking around and taking a piss and picking poop out of the toilet. And
sounds like my apartment.
Right. And sections where you actually shoot a couple pig people. Like, they'd have to really cut it up to give you a good slice of all of the hot action that is in Duke Nukem Forever.
And poop picking upping.
Right. So, I don't know. Do you want anything? Do you really want to talk about it more? Or
I just think they could have gone a little bit further with the jokes, like, to make them funny. Like, there's parts where pretty early in the game, they present you with, like, a whiteboard, and it has, like, I don't know, some, like, plan of attack on it or whatever, and there's guys standing around it, and this guy's talking to you, and he, like, says something about, why don't you draw something up on the board? And so you grab the Sharpie, and I go up there, and I start drawing, and then I get done, and the guy's like, I don't know what that is, Duke, but that's great. And it's clear that I drew a penis. It's just right. Clear as day that everybody is going to go up to this thing and draw a penis.
So he should just say, nice
that guy
penis.
Is like, yeah, it's a perfect opportunity. Same thing with the kid who I autograph his Duke biography. That's going to be a penis. That's what everybody's going to draw.
Now, I wouldn't have the kid drawn a
thank
penis,
you for that.
But two things I have to say about that. One, you know your game isn't funny when Shipwreck's giving you comedy advice.
Yeah.
And two, the reaction should be more of like, you know, it should be the reaction as if you drew a penis. I agree. Like, really, Duke, don't you think we're all a little bit more mature than that? Or something along those lines.
Right, and then Duke just does a little chuckle or something. Yeah.
That's my Duke chuckle.
All right. I guess let's talk about Child of Eden in the Microsoft section, since that's the only platform it's out for right now. Transformers.
Did you guys play the last Transformers games?
Yes, remember. I played several hours of it.
Okay. It was decent. It didn't really blow me away, but it kind of did the best they could, I think, with
the best they've done. The Transformers game.
This one is obviously set in the movie franchise. It takes place between the last movie, which I didn't watch, and the new movie, which I won't see.
Right. I've tried to watch the second movie twice now. It's just like impossible. The dumb factor, just even like in the first 15 minutes of the movie, the dumb factor is so high that I just couldn't bring myself to that level of watching a dumb movie.
Does Optimus have any my bad moments in that one?
Before that even happens, they have two like Amos and Andy type, like shucking and jiving transform Autobots, basically. Like I forgot if they were ice cream trucks or what.
They're ice cream trucks, yes.
Yeah, they're like, hoody do, oh bye, hoody do, hoody do. I mean, it's like, oh my, and that's in like the first 10 minutes. I just couldn't get past that.
Do you know how much money that movie grossed in the United States?
It's pretty gross, I know that.
$402 million in the US alone.
That's why I keep telling people, whenever I criticize something that's popular, they're like, well, everybody else seems to like it. Like, yeah, everybody seems to like these Transformers movies, too, and they're horrible.
I don't know who's seeing them. That's what's so weird.
I don't know either. Yeah. And it's expensive to go to a movie.
Yeah. Just ask the people who made Green Lantern. Aw, poor Green Lantern.
So anyways, the Transformers game for the movie. It is made by High Moon Studios, which is the last Transformers game, and it plays nearly the same. You just are not playing with the cool Transformers. You're playing with the movie ones. And all the Autobots seem to be kind of dicks. I don't know what that is. Like, Optimus Prime just, like, tells you to just, hey, we got to go murder all these Decepticons, basically.
It's like, murder? He uses the word murder?
He says something like kill or something along the lines where I'm like, really, Optimus? Like, can't we just like capture them or like wrap them up in energon cubes or like knock them out or something?
Mm-hmm. Shoot them in the kneecaps.
Yeah, exactly. That seems more Optimus Prime to me. But and then like what's his name? The black truck. I forget what his name is. Ironhide.
Blacktimus.
Is it Ironhide? Blacktimus, you're right.
Blacktimus Prime.
He just doesn't care about blowing up humans. And then like so you shoot something and then Optimus comes on and says, "Hey man, don't do that." And he's like, "Oh yeah, my bad." And then you just go and just blow some more stuff up. The game itself, it's okay, but it's really short. I think I'm over halfway through it, and I've played for about an hour and a half.
Let me ask you a question: if these guys, High Moon, they know how to make a Transformers game. I don't think
this one's their problem. I think it's just they had to meet this schedule.
Right, they had no time. So let me ask you a question: if they came out with a classic Transformers game, Generation 1 Transformers game, would you buy it?
Of course.
Yeah, I would too. I wanted to like the one before this mm-hmm. one, but and the they came up with an interesting take on the characters, but I just really wanted the classic ones. Their take wasn't bad. It can't compete with the original.
Exactly.
Just give us the original.
Yeah, they did fix some like mechanics in this game where I don't know if you remember in the first game, but you were constantly running out of ammo. And having yes. to pick up ammo, that's all gone in this one. Like your ammo okay. just automatically recharges and you just reload.
Right.
Which is how Transformers works. So.
Yeah. I would think if you have the technology to be a robot and
they don't shoot lasers.
Some lasers.
I always think of them shooting lasers like G.I. Joe style.
Right.
Red and blue. All right,
so that sounds like a mixed bag, really. It doesn't sound very exciting, except for the most hardened Transformers fan. So hardened that you would watch these new movies, which don't tell me. And you can save the. I know someone's going to write back, you know, Chibi, how dare you? You're so too good to watch the Transformers movie. Yeah.
I don't think anyone's going to say that. I really
they
do. Don't.
They did
no,
last time.
No one's going to say that.
They did with Transformers 2. I remember it. People
it's
came out.
It's probably fun for kids of a certain age, like to take your kid to if they're like I don't know 12 or something.
I guess so.
I let
which
Sabrina,
I think maybe this game's good for that too.
I let Sabrina watch selective scenes from Star Wars on Father's Day.
Nice.
Yeah, she loves it now and she calls it the robots and she keeps asking when we're gonna get to watch the robots again.
Nice.
Because really those are the only scenes I let her see because she's three,
right?
But she was so into it. Like when they split up.
Really into Ewok Adventure.
Well, yeah, I should pick that up too. But before, you know, when they split up on Tatooine, she got very upset by that.
Like when they got into an argument?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She goes, "Oh no, the little one's going to get lost. It'll be okay."
Let's talk these two games I've been playing recently. Virtua Tennis 4, which Shipwreck gave me at E3. Which I'm really bad at. I can't seem to win. Not only can I not win the tournaments, I lose usually in the second round.
You know, when you don't win, you tend to lose.
I mean, I lose quickly. I don't even make it that far.
Have you tried the A button? That seemed to work for me.
I did, but I'm not good. The guys are too good. I can't, or I'm too bad. They just flat out beat me. They did an interesting thing with this version. I didn't play last year's, but they turned the whole world tour mode, the career mode, into like a big board game. So you get cards, and those are your movement cards, and you have a turn, and you know, depending on what cards you have, determines what spaces you can go into, and those you know lead you to the mini games, like the crazy mini games, which they don't seem to be as many mini games. Is that just me?
I think there's like 9 different ones. 9 or 12. More open up as you get to different regions in the story mode.
I'm in Canada now. I'm in the last year, it says. And my guy kind of sucks. My career is going to be over and I haven't gotten anywhere.
You can start another career. I played through that game twice.
Right. I started from Japan, so I'm working my way to North America, to Vancouver. But yeah, Ty really likes it. The mini games are kind of fun, but I don't know. It's losing a little bit of its appeal for me, mostly because I suck, I guess. But it's okay. It's on sale at Toys R Us for $25, I think, this week with free shipping.
Oh, it's definitely worth $25.
Yeah, especially if you haven't played it in a while. It just still looks great and plays great. Just I don't know. I maybe need to play on. I'm playing on experienced. Maybe I should be playing on rookie or whatever it is. Also got Red Faction, which I've only played about 5 hours of it, and I think maybe an hour and a half of that was with you, Wombat, playing their horde mode. I forgot
which
what
was it's fun.
Called.
Yeah,
Infestation.
We had a good time.
Yeah, what did we say that we liked about that? I forget. There were specific things that we were talking about that why we liked the.
I actually said this on Twitter. A lot of the fun is your company. I think that has a lot to do with it, but also I think that it lends itself to, you know, funny things happening while you play that magnet gun.
Right, the ceiling collapsing on bad guys.
Yeah,
bad guys just flying through the air because you magneted them to something really far away.
When there were two guys left in the level, and we ended it by having the two of them, we each shot our respected magnet guns, and the two enemies wound up smacking into each other in midair, and that ended the level. That was pretty funny.
And I remember one time I magnet gunned a guy, and he was like getting pulled away, and I think you shotgunned him.
Yes,
while he was just flying through the air. And also, I remember what I said that I thought I really liked about it is that it starts really fast. You don't spend a lot of time between the levels.
No, it the game moves. It definitely, because, you know, moves. I finished that game in like 2 days, but it's not a particularly short game.
Well, I'm talking about that infestation.
Oh, yeah, that infestation mode is cool too. Also, you could start from, you know, if you get to wave 6 and die, you could start again from wave 6.
Yeah, which is a huge thing.
Which
but
cool.
In terms of the single player, I don't know. It seems pretty good. I remember reading some of the reviews. I think like Justin McElroy's review in particular, where he was really ripping on the story. But like maybe I just haven't gotten far enough to see how bad
there.
Bad
there's
gets.
No.
Okay.
I mean, the story's not particularly great, but that's not why you're playing it. You're not playing it to learn about the future or the past of this character. You're playing it to shoot bugs. And drive some
melt walls.
And drive some funky vehicles. Although I do agree with you, this is something you said when we were playing. Shooting the people in the game is more fun than shooting bugs.
Yeah, I hope there's more people in the single player.
They come up again, but not as many as you'd like there to be.
Oh, okay. Well, it seems solid. It seems like a solid action.
It's definitely a solid action game. It's not the best game I've ever played, but you won't be disappointed playing it. I think I put a buy it now price of like $30. Which
right.
It's a good $30 game. I played it last Thursday with you know, it was play with the developers. So
oh,
I
yeah.
thought I'd check that out. I played with the guy that was in the audio booth when you recorded your audio for Saints Row 3.
You played with Jay?
I don't know his name, but yeah, that's his name. But he knew you and he thought it was cool that, because it was, you know, random. He thought it was cool that we were in the same room together. So
excellent.
Mm-hmm. And that was fun also. Again, yeah, it was one of those levels where there were a lot of small buildings. So just lots of buildings to throw at people.
Mm-hmm.
And also they make good hideouts. A good thing also in that game is, you know, if you don't want to get shot up a lot, you could go into the building and rebuild it.
Yeah.
And the
I
walls
like the
would
rebuilding
go up around
function.
You. Yeah,
yeah,
it was kind of neat.
Okay, where are we here? I guess that's it for multi-platforming and news. We don't have any news this week, I noticed.
There is no news.
There's no news at
None.
All.
None. Not a single... Nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
I know I starred something on my Google Reader. Let me see.
Okay, you find something. Wait, we'll wait. Shipwreck hum something.
Actually,
the new Mortal Kombat character's out.
That's right. Are you going to buy that thing? Are you going to buy the pass for $15?
I am going to buy the pass. They have the $10 Mortal Kombat season pass, which gets
$15.
You... $15. Oh, $15.
You get
What's
four characters for $15 as opposed to paying $5 each.
That doesn't give me the classic skins as well, though?
It does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, $15
for
that.
Does it get you all the classic skins?
I think so.
Oh, cool. I know that everyone gets Cyrax and Sektor for free.
There's a very big presence on the Xbox dashboard. It's right there at like home base when you start up the Xbox, the Mortal Kombat Pass. I will not be getting that, I don't think. It seems a little pricey to me. Just me.
I would agree, but it's one of my favorite franchises. So.
I know. Shall we move on to Sony?
Yes.
Sure. Mrs. Shipwreck played a game on PS3.
Oh?
The new... And I watched her play some of it. Sometimes I fell asleep while she was playing it, but... it's Akimi Village, which we touched on last week, but I couldn't remember the name of it.
That's the Ninja Bee?
Yeah, it's the Ninja Bee. It's pretty much exactly like Kingdom of Keflings or Kingdom for Keflings. So it's your resource management sim where there's no enemies or anything. It's just kind of a casual build up your little village of things.
Right. So
she liked it all right. She's got a review up for it. It doesn't look as good as Keflings, and you don't get to use your avatar, which I think was a big reason why Keflings was kind of cool. You get to walk around as your avatar, but I don't know.
Right.
Check it out. I need to have somebody because somebody needs to check it out because Mrs. Shipwreck needs to get the last trophy for sending items to somebody. So it's very important that somebody else buys this game.
Okay, somebody, please.
Somebody.
What else? Oh, I tweeted earlier this morning. I was looking at the order numbers on CAG, and I was really surprised with how many people ordered the PlayStation Vita. Pre-ordered it. It's the far and away the most ordered thing on CAG this month. The Wi-Fi version. Although people ordered the 3G version too. So Mega Man wanted to know. Mega Man 1421 on Twitter wrote in and wanted to know if I was surprised. And I'm not sure how it compares to like to the 3DS. And I could obviously look that up. But I guess I was surprised. But maybe I shouldn't be. It's a hardcore gaming device, and people on CAG are pretty hardcore. So I guess it's par for the course. I ordered one. I'm one of the people.
I'm going to be ordering one. Wombat.
I'm not pre-ordering one, no.
I don't know. I'm not that excited about it.
Although
I think it really is just a PSP 2.
I'm almost due for a new cell phone.
Uh-huh.
Where I can get like, you know, the big discount.
Yeah.
And there's part of me that's thinking maybe I'll plunk down on the Xperia.
Well, wait a minute. What network are you on?
Huh? Verizon.
What, are you on
Verizon?
Yeah, so why don't you get an iPhone?
Because everyone has an iPhone. I feel like, why do I want one?
You know why? It's good. It's really good.
I know. I'll probably wind up getting an iPhone. I just like to say, oh, maybe I'll get an Xperia. Yeah. And I
don't
know
be,
I
don't
won't.
Be silly.
Yeah, no, of course.
Here's what you do.
Am being silly. Yes, that is that is kind of what
you
I'm doing.
You have to wait. Wait a few months. Can you wait a few months?
Oh, I'm not due. I think it's the end of the summer.
Oh, okay. So you wait for the new iPhone and you're good to go.
The iPhone 5.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
The 5 phone.
Yeah. I watched all the, I watched a lot of the stuff that went on during E3, the Apple conference. iCloud, dude.
Yeah, I don't care about
we
iCloud.
We did all of our coverage from iPhones.
Right. That's how powerful it is.
The power of
think
the
about
iPhone.
It.
That award-winning coverage that we had during E3.
Right, what award did we win?
Best coverage only through an iPhone.
I don't even think you won that one. No, sorry.
Somebody else did that?
How about best coverage by a redheaded man with an iPhone?
I know exactly what award we won. The most money spent by a gaming outlet sending two people to E3 award.
Probably.
We did it.
Definitely. No. There's no probably. It would be impossible.
Well, good news is I have a couple expense reports to still send your way. So.
Right. I'm sure that's just the, a grain of sand at the beach. But, it was worth it, though.
Did you make your hotel reservations for next year?
I can't yet. It says it's not available.
Oh, okay.
But I check. I check every day.
Excellent.
Eventually we'll get there. All right. So, I mean, anything else for Sony? I downloaded Dead Nation, but
everyone wants to know about one thing. Everyone wants to know about you and Kinect. So let's cut the shit and get
God,
to the meat
already,
of the show.
Okay, let's do it. So I bought a freaking Kinect because all these reviews said that Child of Eden is awesome with Kinect and that's the way to play it. Got to get a Kinect. And I'm a big fan of Rez. And I said, you know what? Instead of just talking shit about Kinect and not even having it, let's buy it, try it with Child of Eden, try it with, you know, Kinect Adventures, and see what happens. Here's what happened. I don't like it. It sucks. And I don't know if it's because of my living room, because I have a window on one side of the living room. And I don't know if that screws up the tracking. I mean, the tracking seemed to work okay, but Kinect Adventures is lame. Can we agree that Kinect Adventures is lame?
I like the rafting game.
Rafting's okay.
Rafting, see?
I don't want to jump in my living room.
Oh, see, not, yeah.
Have you played it with Ty?
Yeah, he likes it. Kind
exactly.
Of, but I don't, so that we got a problem. I don't want to jump in the living room, and I don't want him jumping in the living room.
You're,
I'm like 200 and something pounds.
You're
I can't
a mean
be jumping
old man.
In my living room. I'm just saying, my neighbors are not going to like it.
And what did you think it would? So did you? So you hate that? What did you think of Child of Eden? Mean Mr. Mustard.
Child of okay. So Child of Eden is really cool. The game is itself is awesome. It's just it's so pretty. It's one of those games where I found myself saying holy shit and wow a lot while I was playing it. And granted, I've only played, I think Raptor has me at about 5 hours. I haven't even gotten, I think there's five different levels and I'm on the fourth one, I think. But it is quite challenging. And that's one of the things I don't like about Kinect is that, of course, it's not going to be as accurate with, you know, using Kinect compared to the controller. And for a game like this, which is, you know, it's not a walk in the park, at least for me, I kind of need that the edge that a controller gets. And I just didn't find, I felt like I'm fighting the camera a lot with Kinect. And I understand people saying, you know, that they feel like they're more a part of the game when they're interacting with it with Kinect. And they feel like they're conducting an orchestra somehow. But I just found like the negatives outweighed that positive.
And yeah, you played 5 hours of Child of Eden.
And in fact, you know, I don't know if you remember this from Rez. And by the way, Child of Eden is Rez 2. For all intents and purposes. I know they're calling it like the spiritual successor to Rez. It's, come on. It's Rez. Same freaking thing. The only difference is you now have a gun that you can shoot. Instead of just like the lock on, you can now just free fire a gun that will take down the enemy missiles and also, you know, shoot certain purple items. It's the only way to kill the purple guys. One of the things that you lose by playing with Kinect, and you'll remember this from Rez, when you push the button, it makes the clapping noise. You remember that, Chip?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So something like clap, 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 clap. And I like to clap when I'm playing and I'm flying around. And like there's certain scenes where you're flying around and there's really not much going on. And you want to just like keep the beat. And it's cool. You tap out a nice rhythm with the, you know, with A button. Can't do that with Kinect. I mean, I guess you could just clap your hands together. Not the same thing, though. I don't know. I really, if you liked Rez, you're going to love Child of Eden. If you did not like Rez, you will not like it. It's not for everybody. It's really a very artistic shooter, you know? And if you don't like techno music, you're not going to like it. I don't know. I really like it. I want to write a review of it, but I have to be able to beat the game first, I feel, and I have not been able to do that yet. One thing that I don't like it, and one big difference between this one and Rez, is you don't automatically unlock the next stage when you beat the stage before it. You have to accumulate stars, which means you wind up having to replay previous levels to earn more stars to unlock all the, you know, the five, there's only five levels, but I don't know. That could be a little frustrating, I guess. It's just, you know, padding the length of the game because, yes, it is short, but I don't know. All I can say is there's a part in the game where there's a whale, a space whale, and then it turns into a phoenix. So if something like that sounds like it appeals to you, you should pick this up. But I don't think you guys are going to get it.
No, I'm going to get it. I just, okay. I've got too much on my plate right now and.
Right.
I don't know. $50 seems like a little bit expensive still. I don't know.
It depends. You got to look at it this way. Like, you're spending $50 to support a game that not going to appeal to a lot of people, and if it appeals to you and you want there to be more games like this, then you probably should just go spend the $50.
I know, but then at the same time, I know that there's not going to be enough people that are going to join me in that cause.
Yeah.
And then it's going to go down in price. I just feel like I'm going to be able to get this game for at least $30, like
really soon.
Really soon.
Yeah, and I certainly would not tell people to go buy a Kinect to with this game if they didn't have
one
before.
But it's a Kinect. You can move. Have you used it with Netflix? You don't have Netflix.
No, I've used it with I've tried the Kinect dashboard. You know, the voice recognition works sometimes. I find myself thinking, boy, this is really silly that I just keep saying Xbox over and over again when I could just be using the controller to quickly and easily select everything.
It's cool and, when you're sitting on the couch watching something and I say Xbox pause and my Netflix show will pause. That to me is cool.
See, it doesn't always work for me. Sometimes it doesn't work.
See, I have no problem with that. That works for me every time.
I don't know. I just don't like it. And then I actually, I've unplugged it already because then I kept it plugged in, but then I'm playing Child of Eden with the controller and every once in a while it just gives me an error, a connect error message. So I just unplugged the thing. I don't know. I don't like it. But yeah, so it's going in the closet until, what's the next big Kinect release?
Sesame Street.
Yeah, it's going to stay in the closet.
Well, Gunstringer, you might like that.
Yeah, that's a Xbox Live Arcade game, right?
I hope so.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I was disappointed with the Kinect implementation in Eden. It just makes the game harder to me. You know, one thing I learned, this is weird because I didn't see it in the tutorial of the game. But I just read it like on GameFAQs or something. When you lock on to when you fill up your lock on meter with eight things. You have to release it in time with the music to get the score bonus. And I didn't even know that until I read it on the internet somewhere. So thank you, internet. And I wonder how hard that's going to be to do with Kinect. There is a lag with Kinect. I know people are saying the lag isn't that bad with Child of Eden, but it's definitely there. It's got to be there. Yuckmouth wrote in and he says, Cheapy, has your man crush on Griffin McElroy faded somewhat now that you have Child of Eden on Kinect and realize that despite his review, the Kinect controls are just overhyped garbage where you flail your arms around and unintentionally move the game camera throughout. Yeah, I didn't really have a man crush on Griffin. I like Justin's reviews. But I remember Justin's preview was like super glowing for the Kinect controls and I don't know. I also, the other problem is if you're standing up in front of your television, you're not, you know, looking at your TV at the right angle. You know, they're designed to be looked at while you're sitting down. And same with your surround sound system. It's designed to, you know, to be at your ear level when you're sitting down. So you're not getting the full audio visual experience. And I know that it's very important to Mizuguchi. They talked about that a lot on our 8.4 podcast that we did. So I don't know. I was disappointed, but I like the game.
I'm reading a question and answer about the Gunstringer on their official site.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's turned into a retail title.
Really?
It says, this is from Dan Teasdale from Twisted Pixel. He says a lot of stuff here, but it says, it turns out that a lot of people thought we made a pretty good game and one that's way bigger than we even anticipated. After seeing where we were a few months ago, Microsoft came to us with an awesome deal. Make the Gunstringer a retail title in exchange for more time to polish the game and make the game a retail quality title that loads more people will love.
How about a shittier version, but it's only $10 or $15?
I'll take it.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's disappointing.
Oh, well. What else we got in Microsoft? Adventures of Shuggy, you played that?
That's awesome.
It is?
Yeah, it's very good. It's a nice little 2D puzzle platforming game that has a lot of neat elements that are constantly changing from room to room. It's got the kind of short bite-sized levels that like Super Meat Boy has. So it only takes like... at most, maybe 2 minutes to get through a level. Most of them are like 30 seconds or something like that.
Okay.
But you can just do a ton of different stuff. Like you start off, it's all controlled with two buttons. The A button always jumps, and the right trigger changes depending on what room you're in. So some rooms, it'll allow you to rotate the entire room like 90 degrees at a time to change the perspective and the gravity of the room. And then other ones, it like has like a worms style of ninja rope that you have to like kind of weave through the levels and like attach to gears and get those to move doors and everything. And then there's the coolest mechanic is this like time travel mechanic where every 30 seconds it creates a new Shuggy, who's this little vampire character. It creates a new one of those on the screen that it has recorded what you did for that last 30 seconds and repeats that.
Wait, didn't that there's another game that did that.
Blinks the Time Sweeper?
No, the PJ Winterbottom.
Maybe it did. I never played that one.
Yeah, yeah. Same thing.
Yeah, it sounds a little similar.
Yeah, and this one, you can't hit your previous versions that you've put on the screen or you die.
Oh.
So you have to you kind of have to think your way through, because you're going to want to take your first guy and go stand on a switch so it opens this next door so that your second guy can get through there. But you have to kind of take a path that way the two don't run into each other while you're doing that. So it's kind of leads to hilarious deaths of you being really stupid and painting yourself into a corner.
Gotcha.
But yeah, for $10, I really recommend it. It doesn't have the artsy feel that a lot of the other puzzle platformers like a Braid or what's the other big one, or Super Meat Boy, or it doesn't quite have the level of polish or storytelling that those do, but for pure platforming, it's really good. It's surprising.
Cool. All right. Nice. Some good stuff coming. Is that an Xbox exclusive or it's on Sony? It's on PlayStation?
Currently it's only on Xbox. I don't know what the plans are, because it's by Valcon, is the publisher. The developer is a new developer, Mudcat, I believe is their name. So came out of nowhere for me. It just showed up in my inbox and I wasn't expecting much out of it, and it's really quite good.
Cool, cool. Let's see. Speaking of Kinect, so somebody wrote in here. Who is this? Mark Landry writes in via Twitter, says, I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on the upcoming 360 Dash update they showed at E3. It's really a Kinect Dash update, right? It sounds like it's not
going to be too interesting. It was even that different.
Well, it's just that they're adding Bing, the Microsoft search engine, which is good that I have to tell you what that is, probably, and YouTube.
No, I have Bing Rewards, and I got 200 Microsoft points for having that.
They also, and live television, too. See, none of this stuff is going to...
But it kind of puts the whole Windows 7 phone skin on stuff.
Yeah, the interface now looks like...
Which I don't like that interface at all. It always looks like something's just kind of hanging off to the side. You can only read half the word.
And I see it has a regular menu system, not unlike the cross media bar. Right? I mean, is that...
It looks similar.
I sort of zoned out, I guess, during the Microsoft press conference, because when this guy wrote the question in, I didn't even know what he was talking about, and I had to Google it.
They didn't show a lot of it during the press conference. They just showed, hey, we're going to have cable TV or something.
And you could say Bing to your Kinect.
Bing, GPD.
Right. Yeah. Bing me, baby, all night long. So I don't know what to think about. I think if you don't have Kinect, it's not that interesting. But I found the whole trying to navigate the dashboard with Kinect pretty clumsy.
It takes twice as long.
At least twice as long. If you're lucky, twice as long. So maybe this one will be much better. I guess everything is now voice activated right now. The voice commands were really limited right now. Not much you can do with it. But now sort of everything you can do.
They need to have it to where... It at least recognizes all of your games on Xbox Live Arcade. Anything that's stored to your hard drive, you should just be able to say play and then the name of the game.
Oh, that would be cool.
Adventures of Shuggy. Yeah.
Play Golden Axe.
Yeah. Because those lists, at least in my library, going through my list of Xbox Live Arcade games is getting pretty lengthy.
Pac-Man.
And it's slow for it to come up. Very slow. Yeah, all right. So we'll keep an eye out for this, I guess. If they can get the voice command shit down, really, I mean, it seemed not so tight when I was using it. That's the problem. But if they can make that shit nice, then maybe I'll plug my Kinect back in and I'll hide it somewhere. Let's see. Where are we now? Nintendo. We talked about Zelda, right?
Yeah, it's
yes.
good.
Yes. Ooh. I bumped my microphone.
Some Wii U news. And actually, people are writing in about this too. Miyamoto is basically saying that they recognize they can't make this thing too expensive. So, the system may not be quite as powerful as people are imagining. Because, in my opinion, they can't charge more than $350 for this thing. And it's probably, they're going to want to charge $300. So I wouldn't expect this thing to be as powerful as you might imagine. And that's what Miyamoto is basically saying. He says, we're trying to find the right balance between the CPU and GPU and bringing all of that together with the ability to take advantage of the HD capabilities. And we're sensitive to do all of this at an appropriate price. So he says, I don't know that we would be able to sit here and say that it's going to necessarily dramatically outperform the systems that are out now.
Ruh-roh.
Bro?
Ruh-roh.
Ruh-roh. Right. Right. So it's not going to outperform what's out now. Okay? So let's think of what it's going to be doing. So it'll outperform
stuff that's coming out soon?
No. I think you're not interpreting that correctly.
Wait, I'm confused. So what will it outperform?
Yes. Nothing.
Whoa.
The Wii.
It'll
perform. It sounds like it'll perform as well as what's out now. The problem is, what's out now is not going to be the same as what's out in probably like a year or two. Just think, by the time this thing comes out, like, there's going to be two more iPads that'll probably kick the shit out of this thing. And in fact, let's see, where's the comment here?
You can't play Zelda on an iPhone, though, or an iPad.
That's okay. That's fine.
You can't play Mario. I mean,
yeah, that's like a handful of games, though.
It's enough to sell the system every time, though.
It is, but is it enough to sell as many systems as they want to sell, as they sold the Wii?
I think Wii U Sports is going to sell. Mario Kart Wii U is going to sell consoles.
Look at the 3DS not doing.
There is no Mario Kart 3DS yet.
Well, that's coming soon. We'll see.
Exactly.
I think Shipwreck still thinks the 3DS is going to
also,
really,
I don't
like,
think
come on this.
I think there's a
it's
difference.
It's going to
between...
Christmas. It's going to be on the front of all the ads and catalogs as a hot ticket item, and people are going to buy it because they need to buy their kids something expensive for Christmas. This
what
is
about
how Christmas
iPad?
Works.
What about an iPod?
An iPad costs
it'll be there on the cover
much.
Too.
What's that, Wombat?
An iPad costs double what the 3DS costs.
Okay, but what about the Wii U, though?
Well, the Wii U will be $300, and that won't be out until May next year. May? We'll say.
May? They didn't say May.
They said later than March or something like that.
Oh.
I'm just this.
They're still working on that bird flying video.
Exactly. There's a lot of, and they're trying to come up with fun lyrics for DuckTales so that they could change. Yeah. Nintendo.
I hope that's a commercial
Wii
strategy.
U.
Here's a question from
all the
Gota.
Games that we are making, Nintendo, Wii U.
How long until Apple decides to make a console and wipe the floor with Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo?
Apple can't Apple TV. Do it. Apple would not be able to make a console that would be as good as what Microsoft and Sony have out. There you go.
They already have Apple TV and the App Store. Adding a game playing system onto that foundation wouldn't be that much of a leap. The revenues that Microsoft gets from the Xbox are significant enough that Apple is going to take notice. And it wasn't that long ago that Sony and Microsoft jumped into the console game and were instantly dominant players. Apple is the best consumer products company in the world. If they make it, they will easily take over the space. See, I feel like, yeah, I think Apple's going to do something with Apple TV that'll let you play the. I mean, right now they say with the new iOS, they're showing iPad mirroring.
You know what? You know what?
Right onto your TV.
What Apple doesn't have.
You can play anything.
They don't have it. They don't have an internal game development studio.
They don't need it. They have millions of games. They have like 100,000 games on the App Store.
I will start taking them seriously in the console world when they start producing their own games.
All right. I mean, but here's the answer to this guy's question, to Goda's question. How long until they do something? I don't think they're going to make a console. I think they're going to have an updated Apple TV that will sort of streamline this whole mirroring thing that'll let you play anything on your iPhone. Well, it's coming now. They just need to get rid of the latency, right? Because we saw that video, Ship, right?
Yeah, of Real Racing 2, HD 2, where you steer with the iPad and it shows up on the screen.
I don't understand. Like, the guy is in the video. It's from Engadget. He's saying that there's very little lag, but you can see it while he's doing it. And any lag is enough to make a game sort of unplayable. So I don't know really what he's talking about. If they can just get rid of that, or somehow, you know, you're not really playing on your iPhone or your iPad. You're playing, they have some sort of controller that can connect to Apple TV and then, you know,
your iPad, they came up with a device that you strapped to the back of it that put two analog sticks and a bunch of buttons on the sides and then some triggers underneath?
Like a Wii U?
No. It would be an iPad. You could touch its screen twice.
It would be like a dock.
Oh, okay.
Like a dock for the iPad with buttons on it kind of a deal.
I think what Apple wants to do, clearly this is what they're doing. It's not what they want to do. It's what they're doing now, is that they have these devices. They have the, you know, the iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, and all this content that can be on all of these devices. And they, you know, they have the iCloud is coming this year. And this is really going to feed into gaming, I think. So now you can buy a game on your iPhone, play it on your iPhone, you know, download it for the same price on your iPad or Apple TV, and you have your game save in the Apple Cloud, so it doesn't matter where you're playing it. So screw transferring. That's whack. You got to manually do everything.
You got to realize that Apple hasn't quite mastered this whole gaming thing yet. I mean,
I don't think the games are good enough on the iPhone, on the iPad.
That you want to play them on your TV.
Yes.
There's a few, but not a lot.
They don't exist. There's not even a few. There's none.
There is a few.
There's none. Zero. Zilch.
Sword and Sorcery? You don't even have one. What do you know?
I know. That's why I don't have one, because I don't care, because I don't play games at home.
You don't know. Wombat, I'm kicking you out of the Apple corner. That's why you need an iPhone.
Maybe.
Once you get an iPhone, you will know. The people who hate the iPhone are the people who don't have it.
I never said I hated the iPhone. I just said I don't have an iPhone.
I'm telling you right now.
It's amazing to have seen the transformation that Apple has had on you, Cheapy, over the last 2 years.
It was 5 years.
Is that how long it was?
I love you, Apple. Apple, can I suck your dick? Can I suck your dick, Apple? Apple, come on.
I bought an Apple computer here because their operating system is in English.
You could stick it in, Apple. Just the core.
I love Apple TV. I use it a lot. They make good shit. And the games are cheap. I don't know. It's going to happen. And I don't... You know, I think there's a place for Microsoft and Sony to have these big budget games. But look, people love casual games. It's a huge fucking market. Look at these shitty Facebook games that are, you know, earning millions and millions of dollars.
I think that's the real competition for Apple, are these Facebook games. Zynga.
But Apple, trust me, they're going to do it. You know, you're not going to be playing the same Battlefield game on your Apple TV that you're playing on your Xbox, but they'll have a version just like they have now for iPhone and iPad. It's going to happen, and it'll be okay. They're not going to take over these other guys. They're just going to take all this casual money. It's different money, but there'll be a lot of it. Let's see. What else? Oh, our keg bag got erased. What the hell happened here?
I don't know. Did you do it?
I did it, but all the questions are gone.
Well, whose fault?
Well, here's one that's here. Bean Burritos from Twitter writes in and wants to know what we think about the Best Buy exclusive Robin add-on for Batman Arkham City. Wombat, you're in charge of all Batman.
I actually was looking at the character model for Robin today. I really like it.
It's pretty badass.
It is pretty badass. Is it only available through Best Buy? Is that what or is it just, it'll be DLC for everyone else?
Right.
Right?
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So.
And it's only two levels, I think.
Yeah.
With Robin.
Yeah.
So you got his red and yellow tights on. Is that the
not at all?
That one? Something more badass Robin than that.
Yep. Yep. Super badass Robin. I'm looking at it right now. Although the picture that I'm looking at is black and white, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
Robin Noir.
Robin Noir. Yeah.
Let's see, now that I erased all these questions. Well, maybe I didn't have any questions.
I was going to say, that could have been it.
That could be it. I don't know. Well, I got to go pick up Ty from school. Wednesday, you know. So I guess we're done. So I want to remind everybody to please, follow us on Twitter, CheapyD, Wombat5277 and Shipwreck.
I've almost caught Wombat. I need a little push there, people.
Oh, really? What's the story here? What's the count?
No, I think I'm still like 1,000 behind or something.
Oh, okay.
We can do that, though. We can overcome.
Yeah.
You don't want to follow him. How many followers do you have? I'll tell you right now. Shipwreck has 5,956. Wow, that's pretty impressive. You should at least get over 6,000 by the end of the next show.
And what are you at?
7,207.
Yeah, so you're about 1,000 ahead.
Yes. And Cheapy is at 13,082. Are you not verified? 13, you need to get a verified account.
Who cares?
What's that going to do for him?
Right. I don't know. It's cool.
Oh.
It's cool.
Look, it's this guy that I never heard of has a verified label next to it.
Exactly. That's kind of how it works. Yes, exactly. Why?
I don't care.
Oh, he must be important.
Yep. Don't care. Follow us on Facebook or like us on Facebook. Facebook.com/cheapassgamer. And I think there's one for CADcast, too. And then you get all the shit in your feed. You want our shit in your feed, basically.
Yeah, like how Cheapy wants Apple.
Right. They're in my shit feed. Shit feeder.
What are we talking about?
I don't know. I think we're done. Review us on iTunes, please. We like it when we get your reviews, and subscribe to us on iTunes. That's the best way to get the show right when it comes out. And of course, you know, it's free. You just click the subscribe button. And GoDaddy, of course. 10% off any order, CAG 10, $5 off a $30 order, CAG 5 off 30, and $7.49 domain registration. And blah, blah, blah. CAG free for those free privacy registrations. And now it is time to say goodbye.
Red's done.
We got him going down for the count. Yes, sir, it's the beast from Decatur. Can't see enemies and the haters. Real sharp on my thing like a razor. Blade come clean like a shaper. So I guess I'll get a game of taper. But everybody gon' feel the need to say something. But can't speak up whenever you face them. That's what you call microphone gangsters. Yeah, I got him open door. Yeah, I'm raw, you know my focus. Hope be acting extra hard like up my ad were over. Talking that noise on all them songs. Bunch of little boys, but y'all look grown. Those niggas there and these niggas here. It really don't matter cause they all just clones. Go to school, read a book, be a lawyer. Hell yeah, man, I'm all for the cause. I ain't trying to get involved with the law.